And there's a great Van Halen special on Amazon. And it's one of those, they really clip together a bunch of people not in the Van Halen circle and haven't been in like 30 years. But it's really informative. And the big takeaway from it is Alex was more of a force in that band than you would think.
Really?
Yeah. He called a lot of shots. And Eddie, in the early days, sang. And Alex was the one who was like, yeah, I think we need a singer. Eddie, you're so good at guitar. Maybe just keep playing the guitar.
Just backup vocals every now and then.
Yeah. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert, got on the show. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Jimmy!
Good, thank you. You liked working with Van Halen, both Van Halens, right?
Well, there were three. Yes, I particularly, well, listen, I'm more of a Dave Van Halen fan, but I'm more of a Sammy personal fan because he was sane.
And a nice guy.
Work with somebody sane versus somebody who's not quite sane.
Did you have come through the state, that Sam and Dave tour?
Sure. Sure. It was partially my idea, actually.
Nice.
No kidding.
Yeah, it took 2 years for me to get it together with Live Nation, but it was... an idea that I had that, you know, when Van Halen wasn't playing, first I felt, let's just get Dave without Sammy to do a solo tour. And then it came up because I knew Sammy that let's see if we could get them together. And then it got all screwed up before the tour started. It still played, but they just hated each other so much. It just was, we had to literally build a wall backstage and give half the backstage to Dave and half the backstage to Sammy.
That's unreal.
Yeah, they wouldn't talk to each other. The crew stopped talking to each other. It's Dave's crew versus Sammy's crew. It was a very difficult night.
There is some video somewhere, and I don't know if there's a documentary on this tour, but there I saw a clip on the internet of backstage at their show in Los Angeles, which is a hometown show for both of these guys. And Sammy is having a hard time because he can't talk to Dave, and he wants to talk to Dave. And the cameras are following Sammy around as he's trying to get to Dave backstage, and Dave's security is stopping Sammy.
It is seriously
so awkward and uncomfortable.
Wow.
So you were dealing with this in Connecticut, building a friggin' wall.
Yes, yes, it was at Xfinity, and it was backstage, and security was told not to let anybody from one camp come to the other side.
So how does this happen? You're on the phone with someone, and they're like,
"Oh yeah, so can you build a wall between the two dressing rooms?"
Yeah, there's no show otherwise, but Dave said some unkind things about Sammy before the tour started.
Good timing.
Oh, do you remember what those were?
I don't quite remember what it was. I think it had something to do with him being the real lead singer.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm kind of hurt.
I remember Dave talking about Sammy fronting Van Halen when Van Halen, with Sammy, selling tons of albums. He said, yeah, it's yuppie barbecue music.
Ouch. Oh, my goodness.
That's what he called it.
You can't take away from either one. They were both
no,
great
they
bands.
Were both great.
Yeah, they were both great bands.
Sad that, Eddie's not around anymore, and it was great that you came in right when that news broke, and we did a show together here on the station.
I guess it must have been shortly before the pandemic. I don't know. I don't remember the date, but it was more than a year ago, right?
No, it was during the pandemic.
It was during the pandemic.
Yeah,
it was during. So I actually came in during the pandemic.
You did.
Oh, great.
That is weird. That had to be in the summer then, because we were feeling better about things in the summer.
October 6th, he passed.
October 6th of 20?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I can't see now us all in a room without masks. Can you?
No, I don't think we had masks on. I agree with you. I don't think we had masks on. I mean, I was at the microphone right across from your board.
Yeah.
I was in the middle. I was wearing a mask.
6 feet across from each other.
But my germs knew to stop at 6 feet.
Right.
Because
exactly.
It's Jimmy Coplick.
Right.
It's 5.9.
Right. Yeah. Can't touch Jimmy.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's security mask, security germ said, you can't come this way.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. They built a wall.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really weird because I offered to come in when you called me it was in my car coming back from Oakdale, and you called me and said, "Hey, would you mind going on the radio with me?" And you meant by phone, because we had been doing our radio show by phone because of the pandemic. And I said, "No, I could drive by and I'll stop in."
Right.
Gosh, my girlfriend.
You brought the dog.
And I brought I brought Jack.
Jack.
You know, that's. I can't picture that happening now. And things
we did that, actually.
Yeah. We have photos and everything to prove it.
I'm scratching my head. I'm like, that doesn't seem like a good idea. No.
Yeah. It was
maybe it was a Twilight Zone. It never happened.
Yeah. Well, we got through it, so that's good.
Yes.
And, you know, the last time Van Halen played in Connecticut, it was a Chaz and AJ Presents show.
Yes, it was. That was it. They closed their career out with you guys.
Yep. Thanks to you, by the way.
Thank you.
For putting our names on a ticket. We had nothing. We didn't write out a check.
Nope, nothing.
We didn't sign a contract.
Just
we didn't negotiate a deal.
But you promoted the show, so you were the promoter.
Yes, we
Yay.
Did.
That was it. Oh,
the phones are on fire for Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation Concert God right now, but let's first ask him about his phone call with the governor's office last week. How did that go?
It went very, very well, and I expect within the next week or two, I'll get a real good sense of when we'll be back to business again. And
wow. Good.
I would expect June will be when we'll be back to business, and hopefully we'll be back to business in a more normal sense, and hopefully potting and separating ourselves and things like that.
June would mean you'd put tickets on sale when?
April.
Nice.
Okay. And
that's only a few weeks away.
Yes.
I was going to say it's March
next
18th. Math.
Carry the one.
2 weeks away. Jimmy did that math fast.
Yada, yada. Well, he has to.
So you're going to know soon. And it sounds like you're looking for... let's just say the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. You're looking for that.
Yes, that will be probably our first show to go on sale. It'll be probably down there.
Beautiful.
Right on people right next to one another, right? So no 6 over here, 8 over here, 6 feet here, 6 feet there.
Well, that's been what I've been working on. With all due respect to the need to social distance, to me, we're very tribal, and going to a concert with another person and sitting 6 feet away from another person, it's not the type of concert that I am really in favor of getting involved in. Or let's put it this way, as few as possible.
Yeah.
If I have to. I'm really, really pushing for the old concert experience.
Yesterday was 2.3%, which is almost nothing.
Beautiful.
And everyone's getting vaccinated, and tomorrow begins 45+. And I think the governor said by April 1st or whatever, he wants it to be open for everyone.
Yay.
Which puts it, like late April or so, a high percentage of people in Connecticut will be vaccinated. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yep.
I'm ready.
It's time.
Well, yeah, we're almost at 30% vaccinated right now.
Yeah. So...
And we're only in the middle of March.
Nice.
So we might know something at this time next week on the show.
That's entirely possible, yes.
Wowie.
Beautiful.
It's great.
It's been a long wait.
It has been a long time.
If you go to Facebook and look up the Jim Coplick Presents archive page for today, it's a living, breathing, electronic museum to concerts in Connecticut. Wow, what a day this is, Jimmy.
Pretty remarkable. I don't know how many Hall of Famers, but we did a lot of Hall of Famers over the years. Today, March 18th, I'm shocked, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. I do actually look at this page and say, boy, March 18th is one of the best days I've had in the concert business.
Wow. You know, that's cool. It's like looking at a picture of yourself back in the day, and you're like, wow, I was in great shape.
I'm so buff.
Right. Wow, that's fantastic.
I look good.
Every tooth is clean.
Like, Jimmy killed March 18th, like killed it. Like,
slayed.
This date is a date in concert history that will live forever.
Infamy.
Do you want to start with 1973?
I think 1973 was one of the greatest shows we've ever had in Connecticut, and only about 3,000 people saw it. And that was Pink Floyd at the Palace Theater in Waterbury.
Wow.
Tickets were $6.
Damn!
$6.
Can you look up 1973, what they were touring? This is before Wish You Were Here, right? So it's probably Animals. The album, 1973, Pink Floyd. Wow. You know, we've been doing this show together for a long time, and I've never heard you say this was probably one of the best shows in concert history in Connecticut. Wow.
Well, I remember they set the venue up with surround sound, and I had never heard of surround sound before. And we had to kill some seats in the balcony to put speakers up there. And again, this is 1973,
Surround sound.
Obscured by Clouds was the album that they had just released in 1972. Dark Side of the Moon came out 1973.
Wow. I believe they played Dark Side of the Moon there, if I remember correctly, but... There, if you go on my page, there's actually a recording of the performance.
Yes.
Wow.
So, YouTube.
What? I have the link up.
Nice.
This is Obscured by Clouds. They do eventually go on to play the entire run of Dark Side of the Moon when it was a brand new album.
Get out!
Here, this is Breathe.
For $6.
Oh, hold on. 1 second, sorry.
Holy crap, Jimmy.
Yeah, really? Can you imagine?
But,
and if you look at the ticket outlets in my ad, I don't think any of them exist anymore.
Wow.
Really? Like what?
Sticky Fingers. Chess King, which was a clothing store in New Haven, LaSalle Music in West Hartford, which was really the
LaSalle
big music store up
music,
there.
Yeah.
Marty's Music in Bloomfield, Plaza Records in Waterbury. I mean, none of them. I don't think any of them exist anymore.
Wow. This is before Ticketmaster.
Before Ticketron.
Ticketron. Which
that was the first
before
one.
Before Ticketmaster.
Damn.
So you would have to, how would this work? You'd print the tickets out and go and hand them to these places?
It was so painful because it was reserved seats most of the time. So we would have to separate the rows. I had two people that would go around the state of Connecticut and give them to the outlets. And then every other day we'd have to count how many tickets were left. So we'd have to go out to those outlets and refill them with tickets. It was so painful to sell tickets back then.
So it's like Amazon now. You think, oh, well, you just click and packages arrive. People don't realize the humble beginnings of, you know, mega concert industry.
How well, prehistoric, really.
To get a ticket. This guy is printing tickets
yeah.
and driving them out to places, no cell phones. So it's like, oh, damn, I got to call somebody. Or you'd be off the grid for hours, right? You're out, like, delivering tickets.
Oh, yeah, there were no, so, I mean, we had outlets in Winstead, Torrington, which are near each other. But then we'd have tickets in Danbury or Waterbury or New Britain. We were all over the state.
You ever have like
we
a
were in
zillion...
stores, Connecticut. You could literally, jeez. It must take hours to get from stores.
You must have sent the person you didn't like out to stores.
Yeah, really. The new guy.
Yeah. So you pissed off Jimmy. You're going to stores.
Right.
Not really, because that's where UConn was. It was a pretty cool place.
Oh.
So Jim went there, yes.
You ever have a million, not a million, but like 10,000 tickets printed out and something spelled wrong?
Oh, of course.
Are those tickets out in circulation now?
I would imagine they are because I was probably not rich enough to reprint tickets and pay for it.
No one will notice.
Right.
Well, as long as the artist didn't notice, I went with it.
Right.
The artist noticed, I'd get in trouble.
Gotcha. All right, so Phil found this. What is this?
This is Time. Performed 1973, Waterbury Palace Theater.
On this day in 1973. That's Jimmy pacing in the back now.
And those heart.
Why did I sell those tickets for $6?
Pink Floyd had released this album 17 days prior. It came out March 1st of 1973.
Wow.
The fire marshal's here.
I just got chills.
48 years ago.
Wow. Can you imagine how Waterbury Palace still has great shows today and sitting in there? It's a beautiful place, but I can't picture
Pink Floyd.
On the stage. And then no one's in the upper rafters because they have surround sound.
It's all good seats.
Jimmy, what were you doing during this period? Were you backstage? What are you doing?
Well, it was only my second year in Connecticut, so I saw it in 71. So I did mostly everything. I didn't do the stage management, but I handled the box office. I settled the show. I did all that sort of stuff. So
you're running around right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Waterbury crowd was a pretty active crowd, so they weren't the easiest shows, remember? And the guy
Describe
who owned it was
active.
What do you mean by that?
Active was they didn't stay in their reserved seats, and the guy who owned the theater was a bit of a wild man, and keeping him in check was not easy either. Because he did not like all the... He loved the money the rock and roll kids brought, but he hated the kids themselves.
So you were busy. Yes.
Yeah, so you're running around now. You're not sitting back, smoking a joint, watching time. Like, wow, this album's going to be great.
No, that was his heart earlier.
Yeah.
No, and finally, when his name was Dominic Temporale, but when his kids got older, it was much easier to work with them because they got it. Dominic never got it.
I think one of them called in once during your segment.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I remember this.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Damn. All right, and so we only got to one concert that happened on this day in the Connecticut history. So Pink Floyd, 1973, on this day. Jimmy Coplin, Live Nation Concert God on the show. Wow, this day in concert history is a tremendous day. 1973 brought Pink Floyd to the Palace Theater in Waterbury. And 1977, Jimmy?
1977 was 2 days after my daughter was born, my first child. My wife wasn't feeling that well, and I had to explain to her while she was in the hospital that I must go to the New Haven Coliseum. And she cursed me out. I said, it's this artist that I think will be around for a long time. His name is Bruce Springsteen, and it's one of my first shows with Bruce, and I got to show up. So the funny thing about Bruce was, I believe it was the first time he ever played an arena in Connecticut, and we had to not sell the seats on top. So we literally only sold the floor and the first level. We didn't sell the second level at the Coliseum.
And why was that?
Because he was first moving out of theaters and playing arenas, and he didn't want to be too far away from the audience. Ironic that he's now a stadium star, but nonetheless, back then, he wanted to keep it very, very close, all the audience very close to him.
That is the opposite of how most people think. Yeah, the more the merrier,
right.
The more money, the more people, the bigger I seem.
Yeah. He always controlled ticket prices, always made them cheaper than he could have gotten. And this was what, if I remember correctly, this was called the lawsuit tour, because it came out after Born to Run, but before Darkness, and he was suing his manager to get out of his deal, and he had to pay him, so he went out on tour to make this money to pay off the manager.
Oh, wow.
The old manager.
Bruce Springsteen on this day, 1977, at the New Haven Coliseum, touring Born to Run. Wow.
Correct.
And you can tell that it's not a traditional Bruce. If you look up the set list, it's very short. Normally, he plays for hours and hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 11 songs with 2 encores. That's it.
What songs?
Opened with Night, Don't Look Back, Spirit in the Night, It's My Life, Animals Cover, Thunder Road, She's the One, 10th Avenue Freeze Out, Action in the Streets, Back Streets, Jungle Land, Rosalita, and then the encores Born to Run and Quarter to Three.
Wow.
Quarter to Three, yeah.
I love that. As soon as he released Born to Run, that became his closer. It still is today. It turns all the lights up.
I don't think he ever does a show without playing it.
Yeah. But right at the end, it's his closer.
It is the best concert song, in my opinion. If somebody said to me, what's the best concert song ever? Because he always puts the lights on during Born to Run.
And everybody sings along. What's that, Phil?
That's a great list.
And Night's
concert song.
Night's a great opener.
Yeah.
It's a very dynamic song.
True.
Yeah, we could do that next week, maybe, if there's not a big announcement. Great concert songs. The other thing we want to do next week is who will play young Jimmy Coplin in the movie. We were discussing this off the air.
Right.
I had Ashley look up the hot actors of today. Give us a couple names, then we'll go.
I think Jimmy will like this.
Are you eliminating these people right away? Is that what
you're
doing?
No.
These are the people that are in the running. They're going to have to do a screen test with a mustache.
You got to do a cast call here.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh. That's good.
I know.
Thor.
Chris Evans.
Captain America.
I like the other guy. I think he looks more like Jimmy.
He does. Ahead.
Zac Efron.
Nope.
Nah.
Hugh Jackman.
Too old.
Yeah, way too old.
Nick Bateman.
Eh.
And Chad Michael Murray.
Bring me Thor.
Yep.
Bring me Thor.
Put a mustache on Thor and let's take a look.
Right.
No one argues with Jimmy or you get the hammer!
Well, back then I could take my shirt off and not be embarrassed.
If you go to Jimmy's page, you say, like, look at you. All that hair and the mustache.
Yep.
Looking all...
suave.
Suave.
Cool.
All right. What a great day. We didn't even get to... Judas Priest, Grateful Dead, U2, and the list goes on and on. Go to Jim Koplik Presents Archive on Facebook today. Wow, it's great. And hopefully next week, Jimmy, we have some news.
Yep, fingers are crossed.
Awesome. Thank you, brother.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.